Views on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott and Trace Clark. Today being Thursday, it's the 16th of December, eight more shopping days. 8 and 6 is 14. Yeah, you know, I have been saying 9, you know, for guys. Some guys maybe still shopping on the 25th, but... You know what? I'm going to give us a break. Let's just say 8 more. Anyway, 7:05 in the morning in the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring compassion and community courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, it's been an interesting week. And what's the weather look like?
Well, the weather actually looks kind of nice out there right now because it's clear, 42 degrees. It's not raining. Showers and then mostly cloudy today, a high of 47. Tonight, frost, patchy fog, a low of 32. On Friday, frost, then sunny, a high of 53. Friday night, frost, a low of 32. Saturday, areas of frost, then mostly sunny and a high of 51. Saturday night, a chance of showers, a low of 33. On Sunday, showers likely and a high of 44. Sunday night, showers, low of 36. Monday, a high of 44 and a low of 38. And then showers throughout the next week and cloudy.
Whoa.
It's not going to get warm anytime soon, and it's just going to stay winter.
Well, when you're finished, I have the road conditions, and then we're going to go to Colleen from Shining Care after that. But Okay,
but the weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, for Caltrans. In Northern California area, this is for I-5, and most of us know this, but it goes beyond. This is almost a whole page, so I'm going to kind of skip through some of it. It's closed. I-5 is closed north of Redding at Fondale to Edgewood in Siskiyou County due to multiple spin-outs. Motorists are advised to use an alternate route. Is there an alternate route?
Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, you can go all the way through. Dan, you go down to...
Anyway.
Yeah, you can get there, but it takes a long time. Yeah.
And is closed. Now, that's north, going north. It's closed to southbound traffic, 1.8 miles south of the junction of U.S. 97 and Weed due to multiple spinouts. Chains are required on all vehicles except four-wheel drive vehicles with snow tires on all four wheels from 24 miles north of Redding to 16 miles south of Dunsmuir. Chains are required on all vehicles except four-wheel drive vehicles with snow tires on all wheels. From 3 miles south of Dunsmuir to 2 miles north of Mount Shasta. I mean, that just covers, we're talking from Fondale all the way up.
Yeah.
And, let me see where else. Again, four-wheel drive, snow tires. From 2 miles north of Mount Shasta to Weed, Black Butte Summit. Now, on 44, chains are required on all vehicles except the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or snow tires on four-wheel drives from Viola to Old Station in Eskimo Hill. Chains or snow tires 1.5 miles east of Old Station to the Bogard Ranger Station in Lassen County. Chains require no vehicles, again, 1.5 miles east of Old Station to the junction of SR 36. That's the one that goes over Susanville.
Right. What you can kind of just count on, Carl, is if you're leaving this area beyond the city limits you're not going south, you need chains or four-wheel drive, the accoutrements, because you're not going any place outside the kind of skirt area without getting into snow tires and spin-outs. And the roads are packed. All the turnoffs are packed with trucks on both sides of the roads. Because there's no place to go.
On a happier note, Colleen from Shining Care.
Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
Good thing that our event tomorrow is right here in town, huh?
Yes, it is. I'm glad I don't have to have chains or four-wheel drive.
Oh, man, I tell you, you know, we have events that happen. You know, we're heading south, you know, of course, this is right now. And give them another 2-3 days, and they'll have it kind of cleared. But then we've got storm fronts coming and really cold weather. This is going to continue for a couple of weeks.
The snow that's there is going to freeze and be really hazardous in all these directions for the foreseeable future.
But tomorrow we're having a great event. Let's talk about it.
Yes, we're going to have an Elder Care and Help Fair at the Mount Shasta Mall tomorrow. It will be from 10 to 2 down at the JCPenney end.
That's right. So, and what's going to be there?
Well, we're going to have selected centers there. We have Home Helpers there, Passages Caregiver Resource Center there. We'll be there doing memory screenings as well. We have PSA there, Area Agency on Aging, and they'll be giving free information out about fall risk program with the free medical equipment that they could qualify for, and some just really great resources from other vendors that we'll have out for people to come by and collect. But really want to, you know, reach out to our community and help them get some information on, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia, because, you know, the statistics are showing that 6.2 million Americans over the age of 65 or older have Alzheimer's or related dementia. And then you have those people that are caring for them that is just astronomical each year of people having to help a loved one. So they're saying nearly 1 in 5 people in the U.S. are providing unpaid care for a loved one. So trying to make sure that, you know, early detection for Alzheimer's and dementia, and then just resources for our caregivers so they don't get burned out, because if something happens to them, who's caring for our elderly then? So it's a really important fair, and invite everybody to come on down.
I think it is. You know, the aging population, there's so many things. I had my father-in-law took a header the other day.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I told Tom, you've got to stop drinking that quart of, Chianti. And he said, yeah, he'd slow down. No, but there's another there's another senior that I know that on a he had 6 steps coming down from his place. On the 3rd step, he tripped, did a header, broke his nose, 7 stitches in his forehead, all these things. I tell you what, it looked like he got in a fight with a bear. And he'd come out 2nd place. So, you know, these are things, and I think I heard you say that there's fall things to
fall prevention.
Fall prevention is going to be there.
Yes, they have some great information about, you know, how to avoid that and how to take a look at your home and make sure it's safe.
Uh-huh.
And then just the fall risk prevention program for the free medical equipment.
There's all kinds of great exercises and thought processes that we can practice that really help with the fall prevention and keeping your balance. And as we age, things kind of change around a little bit. But there's some real good programs, if we pay attention to those things, that you can really help yourself prevent those awful falls.
Definitely.
And that's all going to be tomorrow. Now, here's the last part. Carl and Linda are going to be there tomorrow from 10 to 1 on a remote. We'll be breaking in our shows and talking about and interviewing people from all those places so you can listen to it. But it's even better if you come on down and get this information, because you may think to yourself, well, Mom and Dad, they're fine. Well, there's going to be people down there that are going to say, well, this is how you check to see if Mom and Dad are okay. Little hints. I know Sharon Clark gives those, and I'm sure others are going to be there, that when you visit your family during Christmas or the holiday season, or they come to you, it's a time to really check in on your older friends, on your parents, all of that.
Definitely. That's the planning of this, is just because we have family coming home for holidays, and they see each other, and it's a good time to check in and take a look around, you know, with our older adult loved ones, and, you know, just some resources to help prevent a lot of things that can happen. Keep them health and safety and independent as long as we can.
And, you know, one of the key words there is the independent. So when you do these things, you want to be forewarned what to look for and handle it with kid gloves, because the last thing they want you to do is come in and start treating them like they can't take care of themselves
or they're
ill-equipped to go on with life. So
you
want to be able to help them in a friendly way, but as you indicate, we want to keep our seniors in their homes active and independent as long as we can. Because that's good for them and it's good for society, but we want to be sure they're safe while they're there.
Definitely, and that's why we offer, you know, monthly workshops. Part of our workshops is, you know, how to communicate, you know, with your elderly loved ones, because you want to make sure that they feel, you know, that they're valued, that they have purpose, and we don't want to diminish that.
Of course not.
We really want to thrive in our community.
Okay, so this is tomorrow from 10 to 2 at the Mount Shasta Mall down where?
The JCPenney
Wing. At the JCPenney Inn.
Okay. Well, we'll be there right after the show setting up, and then we'll, you know, when you all kick off, hopefully we can kick off.
Yeah.
Colleen, thank you so much for calling, and we'll put this out. We'll talk about it not just today as we have, but tomorrow, and put it on Facebook and all those other things.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate you.
No, thank you for what you do and for Shining Care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Merry Christmas and have a great day.
You bet. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
How's your sleep number hanging in there?
My sleep number just is magical. I was gone over the weekend, and the best thing about coming home is that first night's rest where you really, really sleep well because you're back in the comfort zone and back at my 55 sleep number setting, which just seems to do the trick most of the time.
Well, my sleep number setting last night was 80, and Linda's sleep number setting was 40. The thing is that it's a constant in your life. And you say to yourself, how much is a good night's sleep worth? I mean, really. I mean, I've slept in... The Marine Corps trained me to sleep, in, like in water, and on the side of a mountain. Hooked in.
It's time to sleep. Turn it on.
And you know what? It's like coffee. Coffee in the Marine Corps out in the field leaves a little bit to be desired, you might say. But when you leave that type of a lifestyle, you want to have coffee the way you want it. And you also want to be able to sleep and sleep all night. And that's what sleep number affords us. And you're right. When you travel and you come back, there's a huge difference. And since proven quality sleep can be brought home for the holidays, save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds during Sleep Number's holiday savings event, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number at our store right here in the Target Shopping Center next to the Vitamin Shop. Go in and talk to them. Lay on the beds. You won't be sorry. And the special financing, of course, is subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details. We'll be right back.
Here in Shasta County, we're tired of supervisors who care more about Sacramento than Shasta County. We want leaders who share our values, who will fulfill their oath to uphold the U.S. and California state constitutions. Leaders with a backbone. Tim Garman has proven himself as a leader in Shasta County. He listens to the concerns of the people he serves, he speaks respectfully to those he engages with, and he stands on principle, doing what is right even when it's difficult. Leadership is an action, not a position. Vote Tim Garman, District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Happy holidays from Redding Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility for 100 years. On behalf of all REU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Redding Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2021 and wishes you and your family a happy and healthy new year.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun-grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I'm a teacher and I support the recall. Shasta County needs a supervisor who stands for local control, personal choice, and constitutional liberties instead of mandates. District 2, if you want a representative who listens to you, vote Tim Garman for supervisor, District 2. As a school board president, he has already stood up for parents' rights to choose medical treatments. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Little south side of Chicago, it's a better part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. 605-4567 is our phone number. We got open lines right now. Something's like tugging at you, at your cape. And if you feel like spitting into the wind, come on out over and give us a call, 605-4567, and fear the wrath of Trish. This portion of the show, however, is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. 15 years in the making here. Three branches, one in Red Bluff, one right downtown at 1845 California Street, and of course the main branch in the 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Cobblestone Shopping Center, and a new one right down in Anderson where you live. In December.
Yes.
No KFC building.
Yes, and they're coming right along with that. They've had some like every place else, they've had some hang-ups due to reception of goods.
Well, Jeff was on the other day, Fink, who's the CEO, said, they're having supply side issues, too.
Yeah.
But they're looking at it in January. No, just because it's in the old KFC building does not mean you get a free bucket of chicken if you open up a new account. However, if it's a big enough account and say, hey, look, I want a bucket of chicken, and it's a big enough account, I have no doubt that there could be a bucket of chicken that appears there. I want to put in like $50 million in your bank, but I want a bucket of chicken. Boy, I tell you what, there goes Matt Mosley down the road to KFC.
And that's going to be a trick, though, finding a KFC.
No, there's one up on Lake.
Oh, okay.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
You remember that when KFC opened, for some reason, it was like you your life depended on getting some KFC when it opened up here on Lake. And the lines went on for hours, and it lasted, you know, it's not like for 2 weeks or something like that. No, it went on for months. Ron Kim, Lynn, whom we all know and love, who flies his plane, flew his plane from, they told him it was going to be an hour and a half in the line to get served. He went over to the airport, got in his plane, flew up to Mount Shasta, called the Kentucky Fried Chicken place up there. They met him at the airport with a bucket of chicken and all the sides. He paid him, turns around, flies back, and he was sitting in his house in 45 minutes from takeoff to landing, and he beat
the time at the line.
At the line by 30 minutes.
I want to talk about the new mask thing.
Okay.
What are we going to do? Because I just recently spent the weekend in San Francisco. And a couple of things about that is, you know, we had heard that San Francisco was just kind of unlivable. Actually, the Union Square, you know, we stay in the Beresford Arms, right on Gary and Post Street.
Yeah.
That area was pretty good. We could walk down to Union Square. Doc walked down to La Centrale for the nice
not having not having to hop over.
Never ever found any of the above on the street.
How about homeless?
Occasionally, not so much worse than you see in Reading.
Okay.
We went in down to Union Square, Macy's, the whole Christmas decorated area, the skating rink. Went down to Pier 1, Pier 39, had dinner.
Wow.
But the taxi drivers and the Uber drivers all said, you know, they've really made it a concerted effort the last couple of weeks to clean this up because of the business they were losing, and that's a huge part of their economy. People go to the city at Christmas time.
Well, the other thing, too, is the mayor, London somebody from San Francisco, came out on Tuesday and said, this is BS.
Got to stop.
Crime. This is going to stop. You know, we're going to put on more police. We're going to pay for overtime.
Total.
This is, flip-flop. She says 90 to 95% of people in any meeting she has been in has been affected by crime. Their cars broken into, their businesses ransacked. Yeah. And, you know, of course, everybody's going, yay. But she was one of the original defund the police. But she says this is just not working. And,
well, the interesting part about it, though, was that they were still, this is a masked city, on the streets. I would say well over 50% of the people on the streets, walking around have a mask on. Any establishment that you go into, you are required to not only have a mask on, but if it's a food or any, drinking place, you also have to show your card. You have to show that you've been vaccinated. I have a little bit of trouble with that because that to me is, in fact, I posted a thing on my Facebook that really explains how I feel about that. And I'm going to tell you what it was. It says, if you have to carry a card in your pocket or pass on your phone proving you injected a drug into your body to gain access to grocery stores, receive medical care, or to freely move about society, then you no longer live in a free country, and you are no longer sovereign over your own body. And that should bother everyone, regardless of political party or medical choices.
Well,
and I'm sorry, but that's how I live. I am an American citizen, and I don't need no papers to get around my country.
I don't need no papers.
Yeah, I have to tell you that the three ladies that I was with were really, you know, talking me down the whole time, and because I argued with some of them about, in fact, I got into a terrible discussion with the one gentleman, and I asked him to see his, could I see your vaccination sheet? I said, how about these people that are going to be serving me food and preparing it? Do you have a wall where all these vaccinations, how do I know that they're all vaccinated? He says, well, you just have to trust that we're following our policy. I said, well, you don't want to trust me. I'm vaccinated. You still want to see my card? How about let me see yours? And they, the three gals
are
going,
Trish, battle.
Trish.
No, it's a losing battle.
But you know what? I'm not sure that it is, because we've made a lot of noise here in Shasta County. Kind of the reason I bring this up, because, you know, the governor just went back to his, everybody's got to wear a mask in every establishment, in every place in California.
Yeah, he's made exceptions, though. Oh, where were the exceptions at?
Oh, probably rich places where he and his friends go.
How about San Francisco, Marin County, all those counties up there? They said if your employees are all vaccinated and the people coming in vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So, but let me tell you, we talked about California.
What's Shasta County going to do?
Well, there's also, when they made that announcement, they said there's no enforcement to it.
Well, and there never has been, and that's the point.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I'm confident that nothing's going to change in Shasta County. That we're going to continue to be cautious, use common sense, treat this as it is, that you can get sick and take care of yourself, use good common sense, kind of social distance when necessary. Don't need no papers.
Well, American and Southwest Airlines appeared in front of a committee back in Congress, said they don't believe that you should have to wear a mask on aircraft. They say their HEPA filters are so good, and the mixture of fresh air and their HEPA filters inside an aircraft are a lot cleaner than any other place you're going to be. So they don't really see why people should have to wear a mask while traveling.
I absolutely concur with that. Did you hear the good Dr. Fauci in his comments just the last couple of days about the vaccine? Maybe we didn't get this right. That's not working as effective. Maybe it's not any good. Well, just kind of blew it off like, we don't know. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. We don't know.
You know what's bad, you know what's good all the time, though? Four Winds Jewelry.
Oh, absolutely. They got a big sale going on right now.
It's not an easy segue in, but you give me some opportunities. They have a huge sale going on. It's their anniversary.
Yes.
Here it is, Christmas and a sale going on. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading. I mean, and such nice people in there. Such a great selection of jewelry at such fair prices. If you're looking for that special piece of jewelry, head on down to Four Winds Jewelry. Talk to Rebecca. Talk to Henry. And you won't be sorry. 2225 Hilltop Drive. They're open Monday through Thursday, 9:30 to 4. So you've got like maybe 9 days.
And such a selection of beautiful stuff this time of year.
8 days. You have 8 days. They'll be closed on Christmas.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, 7:32 in the morning, and we will be right back.
I'm a Shasta County teacher, and I'm here to tell you why I support the recall. Leonard Modi's voting record shows that he's not a representative of the people. He refused to have a special meeting to allow healthcare workers, parents, teachers to voice their concerns regarding mandates. When community members gave public comments, he was sleeping on the job. Shasta County needs representation and local control. Vote yes on the recall of Leonard Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to take this moment to thank our veterans and those currently enlisted in the military for their service. Since 2006, Reading Kia has set out to be the premier automobile dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2022 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive the 2022 Kia Sorento today. Redding Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000 limited-mile powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9, or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free, or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Good Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bach.
That's one of my very favorite songs.
Yeah.
Love that.
What is that? Something in the park? Laying in the park?
Grazing in the grass.
Grazing in the grass. Well,
yeah.
Odina loves that. Grazing in the grass. My horse, our horse.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. She is just a little grass-cutting machine. This portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. In between the rains, you got to keep the especially if you're traveling, you got to get all the snow and dirt
Lock
over
your car. Yeah.
Head on down to Quick and Clean Car Wash. It's a great place. The people there are super friendly. They do a great job. They use special waxes and soaps that really shines your car or truck up. And you can, it's located at the corner of Market and Eureka Street next to Dutch Bros. How about this for Christmas presents? Buy five car wash coupons, you get one free, or buy 10 and get three free. Those are great.
That's stocking stuffers.
That's Quick and Clean Car Wash. Okay. You were telling me on the break, I'm sorry, when you were in San Francisco.
And I did have a really good time. I hope nobody misunderstood that. We had a great time.
Yeah.
I just found it very interesting, the difference in the way the laws have been.
Yeah.
And
now,
glad we
I have
do that
to bring
here.
This up, and I've got to figure out how to do this. Okay. You were downtown, and you said everything had been cleaned up and all that.
Pretty
and,
nice, yeah.
But then you saw some people celebrating Christmas in a somewhat different way. Two guys?
They were Santa. It was also having a Santa Claus Day, and so it was, they called it something, and it had to do with the gay pride, and it had to do with Santa Claus and costumes, and it was downtown in the Union Square area, and there were two gentlemen who were, I suppose, dressed like Santa, to the extent that they were dressed, which wasn't much, nothing, actually, except a little red stocking in an appropriate place. Kind of that was it, and they were just dancing with the rest of the group, and only in San Francisco.
I was in San Francisco. We were waiting to hop on the cable car, and a whole bunch of bicyclists came through. Like, must have been 50 of them. Every one of them was naked. They were naked, except for their shoes.
Yeah, got shoes on.
They had shoes and socks, and then they were men, women, old, young. They were just driving, you know, riding through, ringing bells and on their bikes and stuff, and just bicycling through the town naked.
Yes.
It was...
people from out of town are like, whoa.
If you're from Iowa, you probably don't see this one.
And if you're from San Francisco, you don't even blink.
You don't blink.
That's just only in San Francisco.
Only there.
Yeah.
Somebody said, so talking about commercials, you know, on the station. And if somebody would like to adopt a station and write me a check for, and I'll tell you how much it's for, we could really cut back on
those commercials.
But I don't know of any commercial station that doesn't advertise. And you do hear a lot of the same type of advertising during this time of the year because of recalls.
Elections and things that are happening.
That's right. So you're going to hear a lot of that. There seems to be a lot of funding out there for these things. And starting next month, we're going to have everybody that's running for office. Is Leonard Modi, all of his opponents, have them come in here. We'll make it that you can get on the chat room and ask questions, but no phone calls because people have a tendency to get nasty and have a, you know, try to hijack the show by asking question after question. If there's going to be, I'm sure, different events like tonight at the American Legion post at 6 p.m. in Cottonwood. They've invited a number of the, they've invited everybody.
I think everybody who is a candidate for the recall or the supervisor, five or two. So it's one in five that are up for election. District two is up for recall. All those three districts, all the candidates who have indicated, announced they're going to run or have been invited to be there tonight.
Right.
Now, there will be some exceptions because some people have reasons that they can't go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, short notice, so not everybody can make everything.
That's right. I think I'll go down there and just go into the first.
I have every intention of going.
I'm going to the, down, well, I'm, I think I'm going to say, hey, look, I'm thinking about running for first district. I want to get up there and debate.
Go ahead.
Well, the only problem with that is.
It's going to be hard to do that
with a bullet wound in my chest.
From your wife?
From Linda.
Yeah, well, you know, but let's think this through, Carl. You could be a candidate for District 1, and I could be a candidate for District 5.
Yeah.
And we could go, and we could just debate this evening and give them something to really talk about,
But see, you'd be debating people running in District 5.
Exactly.
And I'd be debating people running in District 1.
Exactly.
Has anybody said they want to run in District 1 yet?
I've heard one name.
She hasn't officially said that.
Okay. So it would be interesting to see if anybody shows up for District 1 tonight.
But if not, I could get a jump on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You could.
Like I said, it's hard to get out of the house with a bullet wound in your chest.
Yeah, I would think that would, yeah, wow. No, I don't think that's something you want to do, Carl. You and Linda have a good life. You don't want to confuse the issue.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Joe Comente, when he made his announcement, he wasn't running. And he said he was going to, you know, he was going to endorse someone. And I texted him and said, hey, what if I run? You're not going to endorse me? He says, if you say you're going to run, I'm going to come over to the radio station and beat you with a baseball bat. And Linda will thank me.
Yeah. Anyway. You know, I would say that. I wouldn't discourage anyone from doing it because it's I found it very fulfilling. I don't regret one bit the time that I spent. If you have a mindset for it and you think that you can make a difference and have your mind in the right place, that's your goal to make a difference for the community, boy, bring them on. I want to see a lot of candidates out there. It's kind of a thankless job in some ways. But it's very rewarding when you can actually make a difference in someone's life in some way. And you can one-on-one dealing with the public I certainly enjoyed the 20 years that I've had the privilege of representing this county. So it's good stuff. And I would encourage anybody that wants to be involved and wants to make a difference to step up there and put your hat in the ring. It's good stuff.
That's why we don't endorse locals is because I admire people that step out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's some that are going to be just better than others. But that's why we try to have them on once or twice at least so people can hear for a whole hour. And I've been doing this long enough to know most of the questions. The real questions about unfunded liabilities. What about the jail? What about everybody comes in here and talks about safety and homelessness and all of these things. And, you know, every one of the Every one of the supervisors, every one of them has come in and said, you know, we should have, you know, we need to have a meeting at least once a month in the evening so that people can come in. That, and I've been listening to that for, well, we started our 12th year. We started our 12th year 2 days ago. And I have yet to see that happen. You know, and so when they come back, I said, well, what happens to this? Well, and then when they get in the job, well, you know, staff and, excuse me, the staff works for, you know, works for Pontus, and Pontus works for you. If you wanted to do that, if you wanted to change your meetings from Tuesday morning to Wednesday evening, there's no reason you couldn't do it, and it would take you, it would take you all of a day to figure that out. So then you could have the city council and the board of supervisors meeting in the evenings when people can come. And they go, well, nobody shows up. It doesn't make any difference. It, you've offered it up at least once a month.
And I would say to you that, that I would, once a month I think is a good idea. A specific, I would like to see them do it when there are specific issues that people are interested in. And you can set those meetings quickly. I mean, you don't need to have advance notice. You something comes up on the agenda, this is a meeting that should be done in the evening. That would, to me, make more sense than having every Wednesday night all the staff that it takes to put a meeting on when you've got agenda items from all, you know, 15 different departments. You've got to pay those people to be there, et cetera, et cetera. That would be very complicated, a whole lot more complicated at the county level than it is at the city level, because there's a whole lot, because you've got a whole heck of a lot more departments. You forget that cities do certain designated things. They have a public work director, a planning director, et cetera. Shasta County has how many different departments? 50-something departments. You might have one agenda item from each one of those departments that needs to be represented at that meeting. It's a whole lot more complicated. County government is totally, completely different. They are, but they have to be paid overtime.
What if you tell them to come in that day? Come in that day at noon.
Okay, but to what point? To speak to an empty room. And that's the point, Carl. Having said that, then if there's an interest in an item, something you think the county, the community is going to be involved in, then have those evening meetings. Wouldn't make any sense to have the city, the Board of Supervisors meeting on Wednesday evenings. It just, we can agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
But I would say that.
But if, at least once a month, I would think, at least try it, and then have those people that are on these exorbitant salaries come in later that day. I mean, Do you pay salaried people overtime?
Well, I think you have to pay salaried people overtime. And people that are
the support troops, I understand that. Yeah. Or have them come in later. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out.
It's very doable, but I think you've got to look at the benefit of it, and I don't think the benefit is there on a continual basis. I certainly think, and we used to, when I was on the board, had a meeting that was of interest to the people in Fall River Mills. That's where we had our meeting.
Well, they don't,
we had a meeting in Mount
Shasta,
we'd go up, well, I understand that, and they should be doing that. And
not only do they not do that.
Not only do they not do that, they don't even meet every Tuesday.
They don't meet every Tuesday. It's down to, I don't know, what?
20-some meetings in 2020. I didn't look at this year.
Yeah, I mean, and then you, all
and
during Christmas.
It didn't have anything to do with the
and
pandemic.
All during Christmas. I mean, you know, during the holidays, they don't meet. During I mean, and other times. But it just seems like if there's this much business that has to be done, why we don't have more meetings?
Well, it seems to me that perhaps one of the things we need to look at is who is actually doing the business of the county. If the board is not meeting to authorize things, who has the authority to authorize things in their absence?
Who?
Well,
CEO?
I guess. I don't know. Somebody's got to authorize things that need to come before
but
the board.
Speaking of good things, again, Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell has been doing this since 1993. She is a consummate professional when it comes to insurance and financial matters. Having problems with the fire insurance, flood insurance, any of those things, give Judy a call at 221-0441. How about having somebody take a look at your financial investments? Things are just, you know, the stock market keeps going up, yet inflation keeps going up. What kind of impact is that going to have on your retirement plan or your 401k? Give Judy a call at 221-0441 or go by 1378 Hilltop Drive, set up an appointment, and get a free review and evaluation for your retirement funds or your 401ks. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. It's that time of year again when family and friends gather together to celebrate the holidays. It's also a time to give thanks to Shasta County's 13,000 servicemen and women and their families. Thank you, KCNR, for supporting veterans in our community. Peace, hope, and joy to all this holiday season.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. Sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members. From the Timberline Heating and Air family, happy holidays.
Tim Garman stood up against the governor's illegal mandates. He stood up for his community, his school district, and more importantly, for their children. We need strong leadership like Tim Garman to help Shasta County navigate these turbulent waters of illegal governmental overreach. Your vote matters. Vote to recall Leonard Modi and vote Tim Garman, Supervisor of District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or any candidates committee.
Out of all the rangers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph, Randolph ain't too far behind.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Hey, are you getting the treatment for work injuries that you deserve? Are you getting denials? Give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Work injuries can be life-changing. You know, the employers and the insurance companies have attorneys. You should have one that will fight for you.
give him a call. Tell him what's going on, and he'll tell you whether you need a lawyer or not. And if you do, Patrick Gorman's a good guy. He's a fighter. Again, give him a call at 530-262-2168 today.
You know, Carl, I want to bring up one thing. You know, they got the ice skating rink in the city of Anderson open up. Talk about a really fun thing down on.
It's not a real ice skating rink, though, is it?
Well, it's an ice skating rink. You put on skates and you skate
like
on it.
Like regular ice skates?
Yeah. Well,
I thought it was some kind of a special.
It is.
It's like ice skating.
And you rent skates there, uh-huh. And it's right where the Christmas decorations and everything are. Ooh. And they got like fire pits and you can go and you can have. It's really cool. You need to go down and check it out.
I will, except I have ice skated exactly twice in my life, and I still remember them.
Yeah?
It was traumatic. Oh, my God, it was traumatic.
I grew up ice skating. Of course, I came from, you know, when I grew up in Twin Falls, the weather, oh, gosh, I think there is climate warming, because I do remember we had a lot of snow, a lot more snow than they do now, and we had
climate change.
In our backyard, we had, the septic tank was in the center of the back lawn, and so it was lower. And in the winter, we always would flood the backyard, and we had an ice skating rink right in our backyard. And my dad was from the Dakotas, grew up in the Dakotas. He was a great ice skater. So we ice skated all summer or all winter. I mean, it was wonderful. And then we go to Sun Valley. And
why is it everybody is from the Dakotas, and nobody, you don't hear anybody moving to the Dakotas?
Oh, yeah. When the pipeline was, lots of people were moving out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, because it's cold back there. Man, it's cold. Whoa.
The only thing between the North Pole and Rapid City, South Dakota, is a barbed wire fence. That's it.
I think it is a cold place.
At 8 o'clock, the Shasta County DA is going to join us. She just announced that she's running for re-election, Stephanie Bridget. I've got some questions on, you know, the things that are happening. The captain in charge of the jail was on yesterday. It's interesting listening to him talk about the jail, the Denzians they have in there. Some in there, the ones in there for 10 years. Okay. 10 years in a county jail that are built for like a year and less.
Yeah. County jails are not built to be prisons.
No, but that's what they're turning into.
Well, yeah.
And also the shortage of personnel, the fact that they have people trying to kill themselves in the jail, just like, you know, if you look at the Shasta County average, and we seem to be like, you know, twice the number as other places in California.
For suicides. Oh, yeah.
And we had Casey Fatch from Shasta Regional Medical Center brought in a guy, and that's his job, depression and suicides, and working with that, and mental illness. And he talked about that, and especially about during this time of the year.
That's awful.
And what to do if you have any concern about somebody that you fear that may be thinking about this. They've withdrawn from things. They've changed. The best thing in the world is to sit down with them and ask them how's it going, and then just sit there. And because a lot of people who are contemplating this will talk about it, you know. And he says it's hopelessness and loneliness, and we've been so isolated during this damn COVID.
And this time of year, historically,
yes,
specifically with older people, because it all comes full force if you're separated from your family, or your family just doesn't live closely. Things are happening, all kinds of festivities, and you feel more isolated. I have always told people, you're fixing a big dinner. Think about the people right around you. Do you have a single person living in a house near you? Invite them for that Christmas Eve dinner. Invite them for the Christmas dinner or whatever you're doing. If you know of somebody that's going to be by themselves, there's always room for one more.
There's always room there.
Yeah. Always room. Look around your own personal neighborhood, the people you know. What are they going to be doing on Christmas Eve? What are they going to be doing on Christmas Day?
If you've got like an older neighbor, mm-hmm, and you haven't seen them in a while, you might want to go over and knock on the door.
Yeah.
And we did that with ours because there was a gate open that had never been opened before. So I got his phone number, called him. Oh, okay. And within probably 3 or 4 months, he was gone from dementia.
Yeah.
And even though they brought somebody in to live with him and all that, he was, you know. So, yeah, reach out. Reach out to people. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break for the news, and we'll be right back.
From Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Trees are shattered, homes and businesses damaged or destroyed. Power lines are down, numerous roads are closed, a result of ferocious winds and tornadoes that have pummeled the plains, parts of the upper Midwest. The National Weather Service's Corey Mead says unusually mild weather fueled violent storms in eastern Nebraska.
We had temperatures in the lower to mid-70s at Lincoln and Omaha, and so that's, you know, that's quite a departure from what we normally see here in mid-December.
And cleanup underway in the lower Midwest and the Mid-South following fierce storms, including a powerful tornado that devastated parts of Kentucky. Governor Andy Beshear saying the feds quick to respond.
Starting yesterday, there were people here in FEMA shirts walking house to house to start processing people's claims to get them back on their feet. We've gone from looking for our dead to starting to haul away the death and destruction around us.
And that severe weather blamed for more than 70 deaths. It is looking increasingly unlikely that Senate Democrats will pass the president's massive spending bill before Christmas.
The president and fellow Democrats had hoped to pass the nearly $2 trillion social and environment bill before the holiday break. But the White House and Senator Joe Manchin remain at odds over key spending provisions, including an expanded child tax credit. Democrats have been fighting over the package for months, while all Senate Republicans oppose the bill. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The hunt is on for the gunman who ambushed a Baltimore City police officer early this morning while she was sitting in her patrol car, an officer hospitalized in critical condition. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. Right now, the Dow is up 216 points, the NASDAQ down 117, the S&P trading 7 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy!
More Americans filing jobless claims.
The Labor Department reports 206,000 people applied for unemployment benefits last week. That was an increase of 18,000, but still low by historical standards. The four-week average continues downward, dropping to its lowest level since November 1969. Weekly claims are now below the level typical before the coronavirus pandemic hit. Altogether, some 1.8 million Americans were receiving traditional jobless benefits the week that ended December 4th. That figure was also lower. With employers posting a near-record 11 million job openings in October, economists say the labor market's biggest problem right now is too few workers. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The European Central Bank deciding to avoid an abrupt end to its pandemic crisis support for the economy as the new Omicron COVID variant stirs uncertainty about the economic recovery. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Federal grand jury has indicted a Houston-based company and two of its subsidiaries for an October oil spill off the Southern California coast.
Amplify Energy and its subsidiaries have been charged with illegally discharging oil, a misdemeanor. Investigators believe the pipeline was weakened when a cargo ship's anchor snagged it in high winds in January, months before it ruptured, spilling about 25,000 gallons of crude oil in the ocean. Prosecutors say the companies didn't properly act when alarms repeatedly alerted workers to a pipeline rupture. Amplify says workers on and offshore responded to what they believed were false alarms because the system wasn't functioning properly. I'm Mike Hempen.
A spike in coronavirus infections in the UK prompting France to impose new restrictions on travelers coming in from England. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Watt.
That's Thursday.
8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's here with the latest update. Oh, I'm sorry. Trish is here with the latest update in the weather.
43 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 47 and a low of 32. Frost and patchy fog throughout. On Friday, frost and sunny, a high of 53 and a low of 32. Saturday, areas frost and mostly sunny, a high of 51 and a low of 33 on Saturday night. On Sunday, showers likely, Sunday, a high of 44 and a low of 38, and Sunday night and Monday showers, a high of 44 on Monday and a low of 36, and then the showers and rain continuing through the next week. So the weather storm front that's here is going to stay for a while. Didn't look cold enough to get any snow in the down in the valley, but it's all the way around us. Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They get veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, weather, road conditions. If you're heading north, you might want to rethink that. I-5 is closed, and this is from this morning, is closed from 10 miles north of Reading, that's at Fawndale, to Edgewood in Siskiyou County due to multiple spinouts. Motorists are advised to use an alternate route. Is closed to southbound traffic, 1.8 miles south of the junction of U.S. 97 and Weed due to multiple spinouts. Change are required on all vehicles except four-wheel drives with snow tires from 24 miles north of Reading to 16 miles south of Dunsmuir. Same thing for 3 miles south of Dunsmuir to 2 miles north of Mount Shasta. The same type of restrictions on 2 miles north of Mount Shasta to Weed and Black Butte Summit. That's on I-5. Now, on 44, chains, again, are required on all vehicles, you know, unless you have four-wheel drive with snow tires. From Viola to Old Station, or Eskimo Hill, chains or snow tires. From 1.5 miles east of Old Station to the Bogard Ranger Station in Lassen County. The same restrictions on from 1.5 miles east of Old Station to the junction of SR 36. That's where you make your turn for Susanville. So if you're heading north or east from our area here, I think 299 also, I think it's got restrictions on it too. You might want to rethink it, or it says find an alternate route.
And there are some of those, but they're a long way around. Bottom line, if you're not going south and you're leaving this area, you might want to think about chains or think of a different time to go.
And if you're going to Central California, high wind advisory. Travel is not recommended for campers, trailers, or permit loads. So, and that's around Los Angeles, Kern County, the Grapevine, all that.
Hey, it's wintertime.
And you know what? This isn't going to get any better because we got rain coming in and the temperatures are here in Reading, in this area are going to be like 36. So when you figure what it's going to be 1,000 feet up.
Yeah. Lots of snow up around Shingletown area, and Wonderland.
I have two tickets to the Redding Garden of Lights any day. To the first person who calls, 605-4567. Two tickets to the Redding Garden of Lights. It ends December 31st.
Boy, if you haven't been over there, you need to make sure you go.
We're heading there. We're getting
outstanding.
There. Okay. Phone lines are already ringing. With us is Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, we are living the dream here. How's it going over in the DA's office?
It's going good.
How close are y'all to catching up?
Not in your lifetime. Carl's starting the morning with jokes.
Well, you're running for re-election, so I figured that you would say, hey, we got that under control.
Oh, yeah. We've got a great group of people working hard, but even that.
You got backed up.
Two years of this slowdown, and I mean, we're back to picking juries with masks and everyone out in the gallery spread out. And I mean, the process has been so slow for almost 2 years now.
You were talking, first of all, can't even go into the courtrooms, and then you had to picking juries, everybody's in mask, and that just takes a long time, and you have to separate people. Has that kind of ended now?
No, I mean, we went back to a little bit of normal, and now we're back to fully distanced, and it's still just as slow as it was, between shutdowns and distancing and all that. It's the backlog is there, and the sad part is that this is where we were backlogged before COVID even started. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the cases we file, close to 10,000 cases per year. So, you know, that's going to continue when we've got COVID and we've got courthouse being shut down. We've got trials that normally can take a week or taking 3 or 4 weeks. It's just a difficult situation.
How does the vaccination play into? Are we going to, do jurors and people in the courtroom have to be vaccinated?
Well, the courts are requiring masks regardless. So they haven't had any changes in that. So even from my office.
But no proof of vaccination.
No,
in the first week or so, they were asking a little bit, but no, there hasn't been any request for that. But everyone comes over, has to wear a mask. Because there was a short period of time where if you were vaccinated, you didn't have to wear a mask. But then we're back to everybody wearing masks for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a roller coaster back and forth, that's for sure.
We just had the captain in charge of the jail on yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing there. I mean, not only do they have it being a mental illness institution, which most facilities are, when you figure that he said about probably half at least have got some kind of a mental illness, drugs, alcohol problems in there. Then he's got COVID going on at the same time. He says that we haven't been hit as hard as some other places. And the so he also said a county this size needs to have at least 800 beds. He said we need at least another 300-400 beds.
Right. And sometimes people think, well, with the changes of the law and stuff is being so decriminalized, we don't need as big of jails. And we actually, on the local level, all these changes have mean, no, actually we need a bigger jail because we are now a state prison institution.
You know,
we've got people who are in there for significant periods of time.
10 years, he said. 10 years was the longest.
Right.
But he's got others in there, 8, 6. Plus the fact you're getting a worse, if it's possible, you're getting a worse level of criminal.
Right.
Because these guys ordinarily we used to have gone right to the state prison. Now we've got some pretty accomplished gang members in this that are there to give the finishing touches to our local young criminals.
Which makes it's very difficult for them when they've got these long-term prisoners who are in their in the local jail. It makes it very hard for them because it's taking up those beds. They have to release more people. It just has a complete trickle-down effect to our community because they can't. They're not at the state prison. They're in our local jail. Then our local jail's not big enough to hold other offenders who then are out in the community committing more crimes. So it's just this total chain that just goes straight down through to our communities.
You know, what I find in, and I have conversations with people a lot of times, they honestly don't understand the difference between city government and county government and the things that counties are responsible for that are different than running a city.
Yeah.
They don't realize the magnitude of departments and things that are under the control of the county.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's so much.
A significant amount under the county.
A significant amount. And the sad part of that is that cities can pretty much do what they want to do. Counties are, by definition, an arm of the state and not free to make a lot of decisions. Control, I don't know at this point what it is, but used to be less than 15% of their budget that they actually had any say-so about.
Right.
And that discretionary, and most of public protection comes out of that discretionary funding.
It does.
The bulk of it. I think that the subject people don't understand that.
Right.
So 85% of the budget money that comes into a county is targeted, and you get it after the fact. Mm-hmm. You do X, Y, Z, then you are partially or wholly reimbursed, or maybe not.
Right.
And
well, the jail, when they were having to hold, and we got to take a break here.
Yeah.
When they were having to hold prisoners because the state prisons mm-hmm. were not taking them, so that impact, we had like 125 that we couldn't move to the state prison, and they did not reimburse us for the full amount. We were losing over $150 bucks a day.
We were taking a loss on every single
on
person.
Everyone. On, you know, and those thousands add up quick.
Yeah.
So,
no question about it.
We do have to take a break. Now, yesterday I was on Odina the Trick Horse, and I do vaults with her. And I vault up onto her back, and then when I made that backflip off her to hit the ground, I may have strained my knee. So I'm heading down to Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way because Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang will get me back into action so I can go practice that some more. So when we take her on the road, I can do these things. But if you've had orthopedic injury, strain, or sprain, go talk to Kevin and Rachel. They have all the experience in the world. They've helped with the gymnastics team, the U.S. gymnastics team, college football, college sports, pro football combine. They are there. It's located at 3673 Eureka Way in the Sunset Shopping Center. Go see them. Tell them that you heard about it right here. We'll be right back with Shasta County DA Stephanie Bridget and Trish Clark.
And Carl Bott's Active Imagination.
Here in Shasta County, we're tired of supervisors who care more about Sacramento than Shasta County. We want leaders who share our values, who will fulfill their oath to uphold the U.S. and California state constitutions, leaders with a backbone. Tim Garmon has proven himself as a leader in Shasta County. He listens to the concerns of the people he serves, he speaks respectfully to those he engages with, and he stands on principle, doing what is right even when it's difficult. Leadership is an action, not a position. Vote Tim Garmon, District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you see the bill we all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
I'm a teacher and I support the recall. Shasta County needs a supervisor who stands for local control, personal choice, and constitutional liberties instead of mandates. District 2, if you want a representative who listens to you, vote Tim Garmon for supervisor, District 2. As a school board president, he has already stood up for parents' rights to choose medical treatments. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Good morning, 8:21 in the morning on the 16th. If you're heading north or east
or west,
or
any
west,
place but south,
any place but south, take a look at Caltrans at the road conditions. We just went over them. Spin outs, requirements for chains or snow tires and four-wheel drive, or seek an alternate route. I just can't picture an alternate route that would get you there in 2 days.
Well, there are alternate routes to get around. But one of the things I also want to caution people is to be careful on the on and off ramps, specifically on the on ramps going north, because they're lined with trucks from Cottonwood all the way up to Cypress, because the trucks can't.
Yeah.
They can't go forward. We don't have enough truck stops in Shasta County for them to park in, so that the sides of the on and off ramps are loaded.
Hey, we're here with Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County District Attorney, who announced that she is running for re-election. What would if I say to you, Stephanie? So, what's been accomplished since you've been there?
Absolutely. So we've done I've worked on a lot since I came into the office. In my career as, a prosecutor, because I've been in the office 19 years, actually 19 years today.
Happy anniversary.
I've spent my entire professional career here in Shasta County in the district attorney's office. I've done a lot. I've done every type of case that there is and numerous jury trials. But one of the areas that... caseload that I had was when I did child sex crimes and child crimes and physical abuse and all that against children. And I enjoyed that caseload because I was really making a difference and I was really helping kids in our community. So when I came into this position, one of the first things I wanted to do, which I did, was I created the the family violence unit to make sure we had dedicated prosecutors who did that assignment full time, who handled those types of child related crimes and other family crimes such as domestic violence, stalking, all of those things that are going to impact that family unit. So that's been very successful. We've been able to keep that full staffed with prosecutors getting to go out and do the training that they need to do. I also, from the very beginning, I've been sitting on the board of directors for the Children's Legacy Center before it was even a thing. I was there originally with one of the prosecutors in my office who helped spearhead and bring that to our community, a child advocacy center. We really worked over the last, you know, 5-6 years from a total grassroots effort to bring that to our community. And so that's another huge accomplishment that I'm very proud to be involved in. And both of those, you know, revolve around that area of law that has always been a particular interest to me, is helping the community and helping the most vulnerable people in our community.
I don't think that people are aware of the depth of those problems, not only in Shasta County, but across the world.
Yeah.
The child trafficking, child issues with are horrendous.
Yeah.
And so underplayed. It's a topic that people don't want to talk about.
Right. Right. It is. And
it's uncomfortable for people to think about those things. And then you start hearing about CNN producers mm-hmm. that are grooming 7-year-olds for sexual favors. I mean, these are how many of those are not caught? My son-in-law was involved in a nationwide roundup of sex trafficking people. And they arrested like over 100 people in New Mexico and Southern Colorado, but it went all the way across America.
Right.
And
there's a movie coming out at the end of the year that focuses on that whole thing.
Right. Well, and I think that's why it's important to have robust programs in every community that's focusing on that, and being able to bring a child advocacy center, which is what the CLC, the Children's Legacy Center, is, to our community is huge. Especially,
absolutely,
yeah. I mean, prior to it, kids would have to go all over town if they were involved in any type of, you know, maybe they witnessed some violent crime or they were a victim of some type of a crime. You know, they would have to go to the police station. A lot of times they'd have to go to mental health. They'd have to go to the hospital. They'd have to go to all these different locations. And then they'd have to be interviewed at the DA's office. Now we bring all that into one place. The kid comes to one place and can get all of that plus the services they need. So it's just amazing to get to have that.
Big accomplishment.
It's an amazing accomplishment that I'm very, very proud of that. So, well, I've worked a lot with our, law enforcement partners to bring new and creative ideas. One of them is the Chronic Offender Accountability Program that we started a few years back that has each agency really look at who is consuming the most resources from their agency, who's been arrested 40 times in the last 6 months for whatever crime it may be. And usually it's a lot of times it's going to be our lower level crimes.
They get kicked loose.
So they're not getting kicked in this program because we've designated those three beds per agency, so 9 beds to keep those offenders in so that we can process their case, so that we can, you know, if it is mental illness or drug addiction or something, they can be in custody and be able to get into the programs to get that addressed so they're not a problem on our community anymore. Or if there's someone who's just leading a life of crime, we can make sure they're in custody so that we can try their case, sentence them, and get them off to prison. And since that program has started, like I said, it's small. We're chipping away at it small at 9 beds at a time. We've been able to accomplish 46 offenders that have been held in custody and through the process.
Ones that constantly get arrested.
Right,
You know, I would call it bundling. Like you bundle 40 arrests into one and say, this man is or woman is a detriment to our
criminal.
Is habitual criminal a detriment to our community, and we need to get them off the street.
Right.
You know, the police are, can only arrest them so many times. You know, they have pictures of their kids, everything, you know, because they know them so well.
Right.
And that's working, but we need probably 50 more beds for that.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, I think everyone's starting to hear that there's talks about trying to bring a new jail and trying to actually get that at some point in the near future that is bigger and has more services. And obviously that is going to be enable us to expand programs like this. Because you have to have the jail beds to get people in custody, to get them the services they need, if that's what they need, or you need them in there to keep them from victimizing other people. It's just a very important part of the process that I think has been completely forgotten about on the state level, and from our legislators and our governor, and all of them are just pushing it all down to the counties without any resolution, and it's destroying communities.
Well, we have to take a break here in a little bit, but they're looking at Prop 47,
okay,
especially in the range of $900,
$950.
Yeah. There's other states that have even a higher threshold, yet don't seem to have the problems that we have in California. And I think Texas is one. It's got a higher threshold than 950, but they don't have the smash and grabs. They don't have the amount of crime that California seems to be doing. So Prop 47 could be fixed so that it drops the threshold. What, 250, 300?
Well, it's not just the threshold. It's the ability to. If someone does this habitually, can we stack those, then make them a felony, increase the penalty, all the things that we really can't do anymore because of Prop 47, keeping everything a misdemeanor? I mean, a person could go and do that, 10 times, 10 days in a row, take $900 worth of stuff, and, well, there's not really any punishment that they're going to get. And
yeah.
They know that. Yeah. They know that. So if you look... And I'm not an expert on the law in Texas, but they probably have other complementary laws.
There's other things, I'm sure, that hammers them. Because
right.
as the captain said of the jail, he says, anything that you do, there has to be, for people that are criminals or having problems with substance and all that, you got to have a hammer someplace.
Yeah. Well, in Texas, they didn't. Couple that Prop 47 with a defund the police proposal.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right. We're here with Stephanie Bridget. She's talking about a number of the things that she has accomplished while being DA, and it's not all of them, of course, but she's just announced that she's running for re-election. But if you're thinking about purchasing an electric car, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help to offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. We're also going to have Dan Beans on. We're going to talk about the raising of the electric rates. They haven't been raised in 6 years, and in 1 year they actually dropped. So I think it's going to be an interesting show when he explains why this has to be done. One of my questions is, does it have anything to do with the green of California? 8:31 in the morning. We'll be right back.
I'm a Shasta County teacher, and I'm here to tell you why I support the recall. Leonard Modi's voting record shows that he's not a representative of the people. He refused to have a special meeting to allow healthcare workers, parents, teachers to voice their concerns regarding mandates. When community members gave public comments, he was sleeping on the job. Shasta County needs representation and local control. Vote yes on the recall of Leonard Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Why does Bitcoin provide the highest probability of opportunity for everyone? Learn how transformative it really is at the Shasta Bitcoin Summit and Retreat on Friday and Saturday, March 18th and 19th, 2022. 1 and 2 day tickets are on sale now. Get all the details and your tickets at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com or call 530-324-5175.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. You know, why not have a home where you have your stuff around you? You can have your pet. You don't have to worry about leaky pipes. You don't have to worry about the grass dying. You don't have to worry about toilet paper. All of this. River Commons Senior Living. This is Northern California's premier retirement community. At gourmet chefs, activities, transportation if you want it. There's so much that River Commons Senior Living offers. And this to active seniors. This is an assisted care facility. For more information and a tour and probably lunch, give Brian a call at 238-5981. Worry less, smile more. You know, I love my chat room. One of the people in it has said I'm not very smart, that I am prejudiced and other things. He says these things. He says, because, well, you delete some of the things I say. You're still on there, buddy. We're here with Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County DA. And, you know, there's certain, you know, with all the laws that Gavin Newsom is and the Democrats are passing about restriction of the Second Amendment in our state. Stephanie, Second Amendment? You're the one that has to prosecute.
Yeah, no, I'm very much in favor of people's Second Amendment right. I take it very seriously. I have a gun. My husband is a retired police officer. I've gone through, you know, everything I need to do to have a permit, to carry a permit and carry a gun. So I think it's everybody's right is to have firearms. So yeah. I completely support everyone's right to Second Amendment right.
Well, and that's important up here in the Northern California area, of course.
Yeah.
the relationships that a DA has with everybody is extremely important. What happens when you disagree? How do y'all work that out?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things I've always thought is that if I'm agreeing with and making everybody happy, I'm not doing my job.
That's right. It's not a popularity contest.
I can't be doing that. And if I am doing that, then I'm doing my job incorrectly because I'm bowing down to special interests or individual people. So it's just not possible. I'm going to always just make sure I do the right thing for that particular case based on all the information and evidence that I have. So, yeah, I mean, it comes up frequently. We can't always make people happy where we call people all the time saying, sorry, we can't file this case and this is why, or even, you know, police officers want us to file this charge and we're like, it's not there. We're not going to file that. We're going to file this instead. So it's constantly that, because we're that kind of that stopgap there between things getting to court.
Okay. What can we expect to see in this coming year from the DA's office?
Well, I think you can continue to see us continuing to think of creative projects and programs that we can continue to do. One of the things we're trying to work on now is that, for the history of the DA's office, we've always had this very old, archaic computer system, and we're switching over right now. Actually, we're completely switched over. We're just still getting used to it, a new web-based computer system that has all of our cases in there. So we can really delve into our stats. We can figure out what we're doing, what we're not doing. So it's just being more transparent with that. We'd like to get to the point, and we're trying to work on getting together some type of a more robust annual report. Every year I try to give the stats that we were able to get before, but I'm hoping to give more of that so our community can see exactly what we're doing. And then we're always looking for more creative ways to serve the public, creative programs like, you know, the few that we've talked about so far that we've already brought to the office.
You know, are you seeing more violence? I saw something the other day that bothered me more than just a typical crime. It's one thing for criminals to beat up and hurt each other if it's drug-related or something like that. But there's an 80-year-old lady that this guy threw a cinder block through a window, went in and beat her badly, stole her car. They caught him. The security at Wind River called the police. They went down there, the guy ran, and it ends up in a gunfight.
Right.
And this guy was on probation, and he was on probation, and he had numerous violent.
Yeah.
He was on what?
He was on parole.
Parole.
And he also had pending cases here in Shasta County as well.
And this guy has a violent history, mm-hmm. from what I understand.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good example of the problems where we can't keep people in state prison and our local jail's not big enough, and you end up getting people that are a lot more serious criminal who are out in the community. That case, obviously, I can't talk a lot about because it is a case that my office, I believe we are supposed to receive it today for filing, so it'll either come through our office to be filed today or tomorrow. But yeah, that's a very good example of someone with a, you know, violent history, who had pending felony charges, as well had been to prison in the past, and now they're in our community committing horrific crimes. And we've got to take those seriously, which we do. And that, you know, that case has already been assigned. We've had a prosecutor working on that since it happened, and ready to file that as soon as it comes into our office and we're able to thoroughly review the reports.
Here's a question. When can a citizen use a taser? In the chat room, one of our listeners has said, when can she do that? She's handicapped, and to use a taser. Is it under the same auspices, a fear of being injured?
Yeah, I mean, anytime. I mean, you're just looking at the same, like, self-defense rules, you know.
Right.
If you're in a situation where you fear for that you're about to have great bodily injury sustained to yourself or your parent or someone who's with you, or your life is in danger in that imminent situation, your level of force to protect yourself is situational, depending on what
right.
you're being forced with. So it's going to be under the same types of principles.
So, as you think it goes.
So I could say to our listener is that if you feel like your life is in danger or that you're going to be injured, you can defend yourself. And if you have physical infirmities, which means you can't run, yeah, you can defend yourself.
Yeah, all that stuff is taken into consideration because you're looking at that's why we can never really answer people's scenario questions.
Yeah.
So if someone does this, can I always do this to defend myself? It's like, well, we can never really answer that because you bring up a great situation. A person who's like bound, wheelchair bound is going to be able to probably get there a lot quicker in using higher levels of force because they can't run. They can't do, there's
right.
not other options that are available to them.
Okay.
So.
Judy, good morning. Hello, Judy. Good morning.
Hi, Carl. This is Judy Reimer. I do have a question for her, if you want to ask her.
Well,
you're on live right now.
You are live on air.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Judy.
I do have a question on the criminal that was out that attacked the 80-year-old woman in her home.
Yes.
Is he offered bail? Has he been given bail? Is he still locked up?
He's currently in custody. He hasn't made a court appearance today. His first court appearance will either be today or maybe possibly tomorrow. It's at that point when any requests for bail would be made. However, he is under arrest. Case is coming in today and, like I said, today or tomorrow. I believe it is today. So then he will be making his first court appearance, and that's when bail is usually addressed.
So he will be offered bail. That's interesting.
Well, every crime has a certain bail that is attached to it, unless we're talking about no bail crimes, which are usually homicide, death penalty, those types of cases.
Right.
Quite frequently, though, when you have someone who's got, you know, this level of criminality, they're probably going to have a very high bail, like $1 million or something like that. I can't speak for what's ultimately going to be decided by the judge.
But even a felon's always offered bail as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, every felony charge has some level of bail that is attached to that crime that is offered.
We need laws changed.
But the judge can say, okay, that's a $50,000 bail, but considering the circumstances, it's going to be $1 million.
Absolutely, they can take that bail. That's a starting point. They can deviate down. They can deviate up depending on the seriousness of the crime, and they often do.
So, see, you know, Judy, if, you know, somebody getting back on the street like this, his chances of getting back on the street, I think, are probably really low.
That's
good to hear, Carl.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, violent crime is just getting worse in our country.
We, from the DA's office, will certainly be seeking the highest bail possible to keep him in.
And I think that the key point is that one of the things that I hear you saying is you can't answer a question distinctly every time because it all depends on the circumstances and the individual and that particular case. So to say
absolutely
everyone is always offered bail, that's not true. It depends on the circumstances.
Yeah.
All the way down from the beginning to the end.
Absolutely, because some people, that there could be a bail that's statutorily attached to that crime, is allowed out on their own recognizance because they don't have the criminality, they don't have, you know, they have a stable home with someone who's going to make sure, and they're, I mean, there's so many different factors that come into play, but when you're looking at a situation like this, it's a lot different. It's a case where we are going to be arguing for a maximum bail.
And to support Judy, yeah, boy, do we need some laws changed.
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you so much. Love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks
very much.
Thanks, Judy.
We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. And it's been a couple weeks, so I'm going to have to slide by there again. I give them a call at 244-9478. Make an appointment. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Best place I've had my hair cut in Reading by far. And this is Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Martin Reed, and I'm one of the teachers here in Shasta County who started the school walkout in protest of mandates. I'm sick of government overreach. Tim Garman, the president of Happy Valley School Board, voted to not enforce the mandates in his school district. Now, he is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, and Tim will end the mandates in Shasta County as well. Vote yes to recall Leonard Modi, and vote for Tim Garman. No more mandates. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Alan Gordon, Coach Mathrow Auto Bodies. The auto repair industry is ever-changing, just like the automobile. Collision repair on today's vehicles requires an extensive investment in diagnostic equipment and training. The ability to scan the safety and electronic control systems after a collision is imperative. Coach Mathrow has made these investments. We have the technology. You can be assured that after a Coach Mathrow repair, your vehicle will be back to pre-loss condition. Upon delivery, your vehicle will be washed, vacuumed, and disinfected.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
With the coming of the holiday season, we would like to thank all of our customers, old and new, for trusting Coachmaster to take care of all of your collision repair needs. Our team would like to wish the community Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Santa, we don't repair sleighs, so be careful. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Tim Garman stood up against the governor's illegal mandates. He stood up for his community, his school district, and more importantly, for their children. We need strong leadership like Tim Garman to help Shasta County navigate these turbulent waters of illegal governmental overreach. Your vote matters. Vote to recall Leonard Modi and vote Tim Garman, supervisor of District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or any candidate's committee.
Travel on, there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott, 8:52 in the morning. And Tobacco and Brew brings us this segment. All your tobacco needs, all the accessories, they have grab bags of cigars, they have the best. They have the best humidor anywhere north of Sacramento, maybe even in Sacramento. They're just great cigars in there. And, you know, looking for some Christmas presents for somebody that enjoys a good cigar, Tobacco and Brew, 2163 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. We're here with Stephanie Bridget, and Stephanie, we have people lined up on the phone. So, Robert, you're first.
Hey, sounds good. Good morning, Carl and Trish and Madam District Attorney.
Good morning.
I know you've only got a certain amount of leeway that you can do, you know, as District Attorney, but I would think this guy with the alleged brick through the window and doing what he did, wouldn't he be a three-strikes candidate? Because I remember voting for that law back in the 1990s, so that people like that, once they hit that third strike, that was it. 25 to life. Bye-bye. And we'll see you when they parole you and they put you in the old crook's home.
Yeah, so the three strikes law, unfortunately, has been changed a lot over the years. It's not always three strikes at this point. You have to, their strikes to get to that 25 to life, their prior strikes. The class of crimes has really gotten a lot smaller. It has to be things that are called super strikes, so it's a very smaller category of crimes to get there. That being said, you know, depending on what his criminal history is, and like I said, it's coming in like today, so we'll be able to look to see exactly what he has against him, what his history is, and make those determinations. Just from what I know, it's likely that he will be facing a maximum term that is quite significant.
I certainly hope so, because I'm getting a little, as a taxpayer, or I'm getting a little fed up of constantly seeing the same parade of names on the news or in the what passes sadly for the Record Searchlight these days, since they merged with USA Today. And it's like you see the same names over and over again. It's just like, will you just forget about it and put them away and be done with it?
Yeah. No.
I mean, I know you can only do so much, but yeah, as long as I've got the quick open form, I'll say to the folks hearing my voice, we got an election coming up. Let's fire the governor, and let's put it on people in the legislature who are going to listen to the will of the people, because no offense to the memory of Rose Byrd, but she was out of line when she said that the law should never be the will of the people. And look what happened to her. She got fired for her trouble about 30 years ago, give or take.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Robert. We got other people
Thank
waiting.
You.
All right.
And I think
Thank you.
Thanks for your phone call and your comments.
And I think the people are getting upset, and it's not just in communities that already didn't want these things passed, but you're really seeing it up and down the state more than you ever have. So I agree. I hope there's going to start being some type of shift, because the people that we have in our making decisions in our legislature are not working in our best interest. They're just not.
From the governorship
right
down.
Yeah. And especially in the attorney general's office. Nick, good morning. You have a question for the DA.
I do. Stephanie, I understand the threshold from a misdemeanor to a felony is $950. But I have people telling me that you can't prosecute a misdemeanor, that you just give them citations. And I say, yes, you can, but you're choosing to give citations because there's no room in the jail. If a person stole a $35 pizza, they could still be prosecuted as a misdemeanor and get up to a $1,000 fine and or up to 364 days in jail if we had space. Is that correct?
Yeah, so misdemeanor,
Thanks,
absolutely, that's correct. We can still file that as a misdemeanor if it's a dollar that worth of product that they stole, or $50 worth of product, and it's still a misdemeanor that can be put into our local jail. That is absolutely correct.
We need a larger jail. We need a new jail.
Yeah.
Let's just say it.
Yeah.
And we've been saying it for years, and yet our elected officials can't seem to put this together to get everybody behind it. The last time, there was 1,000 different things that was going to be part of that jail. If somebody just said, this is going to cost a 0.25 sales tax hike, and it's just a jail that's going to hold 450 new bad guys and girls, and that's it. And the money would be used to build the jail and staff the jail. I know I'm speaking to the choir here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I don't even know why I even said it. So.
Okay, yeah, what's your point, Carl?
We all agree with you.
Yeah, no, and I think
yeah,
the
right.
public does.
I think everybody does. Everybody agrees with
but
that.
But the key is to build it and staff it.
Yeah.
The money's got to be there to staff it as well, because it doesn't do you any good if you've got a building.
And having the people to staff it.
Exactly.
That's the other big thing everybody's having. Now, Stephanie, what about the number of prosecutors we have? Could we always use more, like police? Or are we limited with the new county courthouse, we have more courtrooms, right?
It's the same number of courtrooms.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. We have 27 prosecutors, and that includes myself and my chief deputy and the other managing senior prosecutors. So 27 for 10,000 cases a year. It's not very much. Unfortunately, just look at the serious offender unit in my office that handles our homicides. They all have, like, between maybe 6 at the low, 10 to 11 homicides.
They're working
each
right
assigned
now.
Assigned to them.
Active
yeah.
homicides.
And so we need another person in that position. Our family violence unit has a huge amount of cases. So yes, we've got 27 people, but we need more. If we have looked at it, we've looked at all the new mandates that have come down on us, new things that we have to do based on Prop 57. I think it was either a Senate bill or Assembly bill, I don't remember, 1437, that all these changes that have required us to do more work and have never funded us for more positions. I mean, I could just make a list, probably a page long, of all the new things over the last 5 years that we have to do that we haven't gotten any new positions for. So we've looked at all of that, including current caseloads, and we need a solid 5 more positions in order, 5 more attorney positions and whatever support positions we would need for that, like secretarial and stuff like that. And we don't have it, and, you know, we're slowly every year trying to make those requests to get those extra bodies in, but you're right. We need more.
It goes back to what we talked about with the legislature and the governor. We've got to get to a point in this state where we prioritize those things we're going to do and quit spending all the money on the population that we're spending it on and spend it on crime and law enforcement. Those are the important things for the state of California.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's where the priorities need to be.
We've run out of time, but Stephanie, I'll give you the last shot here for people.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm very much enjoyed being